Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. And the main emphasis of this program, of course, is to go through the Bible, through the Word of God, and also a call for everyone everywhere to cross the border into the kingdom of heaven and obtain eternal life through the work of the Messiah, Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah, and how he shed his blood for our sins so that we would not be accountable and we could escape death, a very important thing. There's absolutely nothing more important in this life than to secure our eternal destination, because this life is short. We are all born into mortality. We all are mortals. We are all going to die. There is no debate about it. We are born, we live for a short time, and then we die. Whether it's a few years, 50 years, or 100 years, it still is not a very long time. It may seem like a long time when you're young to live to 50 or 100, but when you get about 50 years old, well, you realize that, hey, that wasn't so long, and if I get another 50, that won't be long enough. Not when you're comparing it to eternity. And I'm here for as long as I can, because there are some things that can only be accomplished in this life, because when we are changed for good. And I do look forward to the life to come, especially as I get older and realize that having to deal with sin and temptation, that's something that if you have made up your mind that you want to live a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father, having to deal with sin and temptation is a nuisance. It's a bother. It's something that we really would rather not have to deal with. I don't ever want to sin again in my life. I don't ever want to be tempted again in my life. But unfortunately, that's part of the mortality. That's part of this existence in mortality. But in the resurrection, those things will be done away with. I'll never be tempted again. I will never sin again. Hallelujah. That's what I say to that. I look forward to that. And as well as looking forward to a lot of other things, like never having to get in an automobile to travel from here to there. I mean, I'll be able to travel like Yahshua did when he just appeared wherever it was that he was going. Yeah, I like that. Automobiles are crude compared to that. And what else? How about the sickness? Well, no more sickness. That's what we have to look forward to forever. And that's why I say it's so important. Your eternal destiny forever is more important than anything else in this life, is your destiny, your eternal destination, where you're going to spend eternity, and what plan you're going to have for your eternal life. There is nothing more important. So what else do I have to look forward to? Well, like I said, no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering, no more heartbreak, no more betrayal, no more constantly having to worry about the governments of men usurping and taking my rights away, no more worry about thieves and evil men by whatever device that they can conjure up to steal what I've worked hard for and to steal my life and my labor and enslave me, having to fight that continually. That's what we do in this life. That's what we fight continually. We have a lot of good things to look forward to, those of us who are in Yahshua, the Messiah, who are covered, whose sins are covered by his blood, looking forward to the resurrection and all the promises which the scripture says are yes and amen. So anyway, we have Yahshua, Jesus here. He goes into the wilderness. He's tempted. And the devil, the tempter, comes to him and says, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Do what I say, Jesus, and your hunger will go away. Don't listen to God. But what does he do? He brings in the Word of God. He listens to the Heavenly Father. He listens to the Word of God. He is our example. And then the devil takes him up into the holy city and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he says to them, him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. You know, first, this tempter, he learns pretty quick, doesn't he? First he comes to him, and he says, make the stones into bread. You know, he comes up with his own word. So, Yeshua, Jesus, answers him with the word of God. So now the devil, he knows the word of God pretty good, right? So he's going to take it and use it to tempt him. And he says, it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning their, in their right, in their hands, they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So Jesus answered him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Just because God says he's going to look out for you, just because he says he's going to do something, doesn't mean you should go handle deadly snakes because you're tempting God. Because he says you'll be able to handle serpents, which was demonstrated, that means you don't go out and do it on purpose because that's a sin. You're harming yourself or attempting to harm yourself. So he answers him with the word of God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written again. Again, the devil takes him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. Now, remember what just happened. He just came from a place where there was a preacher preaching, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the devil is showing him all the kingdoms of the world. All the kingdoms of the world. And the glory of them. Yeah, he was boasting about the kingdoms. All the good things about the kingdom of the world, the glory of them. I mean, if we glorify something, well, we say all the good things about it. We praise it when we glorify something. We shine a light on that which is beautiful in it. Do we not? So he's showing them the kingdoms of this world and all the glory of them. You know, I could show you the glory of America. Let me tell you about the glory of America. Oh, they feed the poor, don't they? They have welfare for people. Isn't that glorious? And look at all the nice roads and all of the great buildings. Isn't it glorious? And look at the great army that they go around and make peace throughout the world. Isn't that glorious? But what's at the root of all their glory? Sin. That's right. They force people. They steal from one man to give charity to another. That's right, theft. Their glory is rooted in theft. And how about their peacekeeping? Well, they do it through force. There's no force in the kingdom of God. So he shows him all the kingdoms of this world. Listen, you know, and listen to what he says. He says unto him, all these things will I give thee, if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world will be yours. You will be the king of kings in the world. That's right. Just think of the great social programs. You could tax people and spend their money for good. You could enslave the people because, you know, we know better than they do how to spend their money. We know what's good for the people. The people need us to govern them. What do you say, Jesus? You know, this is the temptation here. You have to understand what's going on. You know, just give up that kingdom of God thing. You know, here's what you're going to get. Jesus, I'm going to make you ruler and you'll be rich and everything will go your way because you'll have the say in all the kingdoms of the world. You get to run all the programs and do it your way. But if you do it God's way, sure, you'll have a few years of glory and you'll be able to preach and people will follow you around. But you know what's going to happen. You're going to be killed. You're going to be nailed to a cross. This other way, I'm offering you a better way, Jesus. That's what the tempter is telling him. These are the things that the Messiah is being tempted with in all the kingdoms of this world. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Yahshua. Then saith Jesus to him. Remember, Yahshua, remember who he is by his Hebrew name and the meaning of that name. The meaning of that name. The temptation is to throw off the mission of the meaning of his name. And that is the salvation of our Heavenly Father. To throw off that mission and do it another way. To take the reins of the kingdoms of this world and govern it that way and try to make it a better place. Much like, you know, they promise every 4 years in the elections when all these mouths get up there and they say, make me the mouth of the beast and everything will be good. And the people keep voting, but things just get worse and worse, don't they? Make me the mouth of the beast. I'll give you free drugs. Make me the mouth of the beast and you'll get free medical care for all. I heard a quote from one very wise man. I don't know who said it, but I haven't forgot what he said. He said, if you think that medical care is expensive now, just wait until it's free. And what was the point of that? Yes, just wait until it's free. That the cost for free medical care for everybody is way too high. That's the point. But they're promising it. No, it won't be free. They have to steal it from you first. And believe me, when the government takes money from you to pay for something that you should have paid for yourself, you're going to pay twice as much for it. But everybody's thinking in covetousness and in greed that they're going to pay less and somebody else is going to pay more. It's called theft. Yahshua, he wasn't going to fall for that temptation. All of these people running for office, are they making a pact with the devil? Well, I think there are a few men out there that are genuinely deceived into thinking that somehow that they can make a difference by joining the kingdoms of this world. But Yahshua wouldn't do it. As a matter of fact, he was just baptized. And he was signified as being baptized into another kingdom, and that's the kingdom of God. And he was made the king of the kingdom of God. And he is not going to give up that position for the king of the kingdoms of this world, as was being offered to him here by Satan. And he says, all these things will I give thee if you will fall down and worship me. Boy. It's fairly bold. But what does Yahshua say to him? Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. It says, he said, thou shalt worship Yahuwah, thy Elohim, and him only shall thou serve. Well, that puts Satan in his place. Get behind me, Satan. That's get thee hence. Get behind me. Get out of my face, dude. If I could translate that into a contemporary vernacular. Get out of my face, dude. Get behind me. Get thee hence, Satan. You shall worship Yahuwah, our God, the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And that was the end of the temptation in the wilderness. Now, leaving Nazareth, and here we find out that he left Nazareth. This was the time when he left Nazareth. And why do I say that? Why do I put such great emphasis on that? You know, we talked about Adam. We touched on his intellect, his 100% brain capacity, probably the only man that had 100% brain capacity that was born among men, because it's only diminished since then, and how intelligent it was, and how he made this proclamation when he was given his wife Eve, and he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now Yahshua, that is Jesus, when he left Nazareth, he left his father and his mother. He was baptized. He was anointed. He went into the wilderness to be tested. He was tested, and now it was time for a calling greater than marriage. That's right. When the scripture says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Well, that's a commandment right there. Enveloped in that is a commandment. And the commandment is to obey your mother and your father. And then it's repeated later to obey your parents or your mother and father, to obey them in the Lord, as Paul puts it, as much as their commandments conform to the law of our Heavenly Father, to His law and His word, that we are to obey them even as adults. Because you go into the scripture further and you'll see in some of the epistles and the letters, it says that men, talking about grown men, one of the sins of the unrighteous, of wicked men, is that they are disobedient to parents. Not talking about children, talking about men disobedient to parents. And so we have here, now was Yahshua being disobedient to his parents when he left without getting married? No, he was not, because there is a higher calling. Because the call of our Heavenly Father trumps marriage. And you may find some men, as the apostles, and some of them were even called to leave their marriage. Just a little aside there, or something that fits in with the context of him leaving Nazareth. So we see that he's leaving Nazareth, and he comes and he dwells in, it says here, we'll read it, chapter 4, verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Where are they sitting? They're sitting in the region of the shadow of death. They are under this government that belongs to the devil. Remember, he was the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world will always oppress, given enough time. Some of them have very good beginnings, but the power always corrupts and leads to oppression of the people. And this is the region of and shadow of death, the kingdoms of this world. The people sat in darkness, and here comes Yahshua, he brings. It says they saw a great light. The light has sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And remember how we started out. He heard that John was cast into prison, and he departed into Galilee, leaving Nazareth. His time had come. The one who went before him, as the prophet foretold, was now cast into prison. His time was over. Yahshua heard about it. It was time to leave Nazareth. It was time to begin. And perhaps that was the beginning of the 70th week. Perhaps that was the cutting off point. John being thrown into prison. Yahshua hears about it. It's recorded here for us. So he leaves Nazareth. He steps from serving his mother and his father, as a good Hebrew Israelitish boy would do according to the law. And he answers the higher calling of his life, which in most people's cases would be marriage, to leave their mother and their father. But in his case, and in the case of those that are called by the Heavenly Father, to leave and to serve and to give their life fully. And some of them, like I said, even left, not just their father, mother and father, but some of them are called out of marriage itself. And I know that flies into the face of the modern day Christian romantic ideals. And there you have paganism mixed up with religion, because Romanism, romance, romantics, is idolatry, and it's paganism. And because we should be living according to the law of God and not according to the law of romance or this pagan idolatry. And I know that strikes people, a lot of people, the wrong way, because the term romance has become so broad that it covers a lot of good things, but there's a lot of evil things in romance. Two homosexuals can romance. You can romance with another man's wife, but you cannot agape another man's wife. You cannot agape in homosexuality. There is no agape there. Everything good incorporated into romance pre-existed romance in agape and in the commandments of our Heavenly Father. So yes, you should treat your wife well. Yes, you should bring her flowers. Yes, you should treat her special on certain days. You should do all those things because you agape her. But it has nothing to do with the pagan idolatry of romance, unless, of course, you're a pagan Roman practicing idolatry. But don't try to veil it with Christianity. Okay, let's see, where did we leave off here? Oh, yes, he began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I tell people all the time that I'm not greater than my master. Yes, Yahshua, called Jesus today in the West. He is my master. I'm not greater than my master. Can I preach another gospel? No, I'm going to preach the same gospel that he preached until he tells me to stop preaching and to preach another gospel. He hasn't given me another gospel to preach. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And you just, you know, if you don't believe me, get out your e-sword and type in the kingdom and confine that to the first four gospels, and you'll find out, hey, that's what this book is really about. It's about the kingdom of heaven. And that's the gospel he preached. And if we jump ahead, we find out that before he ascended to be with the Father, he said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the earth. Then will the end come. And so I'm here today, and the end hasn't come, so I'm still preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And we're going to pick up here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17 next time on Cross the Border. Do visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Take advantage of the resources there, and remember, I would like to hear from you. We'll see you next time.